ओम जनतम चक्षुस्मृतस्म श्रीगुर्वे नम श्रीचैतान्य मनोविष्टम स्थित कुचल स्वयं रूपकदमयम ददति सपनतिकम् पंचकोपतिभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। This chapter, the 24th chapter of the fifth canto, the third from last chapter, is nearing in its description of the bottoms of the universe. This is right below the earth. There's something called Bila Sarga, the subterranean heavenly planets. On these planets, there is such enjoyment, such pleasures. Everything is available, and the pleasures are more wonderful than in the heavenly planets. But the mood of the enjoyment is atheistical. And there is one flaw in the enjoyment, as there is in all material enjoyment, is that the chakra of the Lord ends it all. The Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord is the time factor. Material pleasure, adyantavanta kanteya nateshu ramate buddha. Material pleasure has a beginning and has an end, and therefore, by definition, it is the cause of frustration. And therefore, nateshu ramate buddha, the wise person, does not take part in these things. So, every pleasure, every enjoyment is there, but because there is no connection with spirituality, with spiritual life, with God consciousness, with Krishna consciousness, therefore it is considered hellish. Now, Bali Maharaj lives in one of these planets. Bali Maharaj will be discussed in the eighth canto. And Bali Maharaj is going to speak. First, Bali Maharaj is going, something about Bali Maharaj and his position is going to be described. And then he's going to recite some his realizations about pleasure. So what we had just read was how Bali Maharaj, after surrendering, giving everything to Krishna, Krishna awarded him a place in Suttal. He gave everything, or rather, from one point of view, he gave everything, and from the other point of view, Lord Vamandev took everything from him, until he had nothing, nothing at all. And then, to reciprocate with Bali Maharaj's complete surrender for the pleasure of Vamanadev, Bali Maharaj gave him the planet known as Suttala. And in Suttala, there is again more opulence than in the heavenly planets. So one may think that the result of giving everything to Krishna, to the Lord, is the material opulence that Bali got. And this, of course, is a materialistic type of thinking. So Prabhupada explains very clearly in the purport, and Bali Maharaj will also explain it a little later on, is that what one actually gets from giving everything to Krishna is not either material opulence or liberation, although one may in fact become liberated from the material world, or one may in fact get material opulence, but that is not the actual goal of giving everything to Krishna. The goal of giving everything to Krishna, and what the devotee actually wants from Krishna, is he wants to be involved and engaged always in loving Krishna and serving Krishna. Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamani Mama Janamani Janmaneshvare Bhavadtar Bhakti Rahituki Tvai. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayer, saying, I don't want material wealth. I don't want even liberation. All I desire is to be engaged in your service, birth after birth. So this is a theme that comes up so many times in the Bhagavatam. What is the highest, the most superior achievement? And from our platform, covered, at least my platform, covered by the modes of material nature in the material world, it is hard to conceive. In fact, it is impossible to conceive of the sweetness, of the incredible sweetness that comes when a pure soul serves the Lord. That sweetness makes everything, even the most pleasurable material experience, even the absence of all material pain, liberation, that makes serving Krishna with great love and devotion makes those things completely insignificant. Completely insignificant. If we took those things, even liberation, as Srila Swami describes in his commentary in one of his verses in Bhagavatam that Srila Rupa Goswami quotes in Bhakti Samatha Sindhu Nectar of Devotion, he says that if you take the happiness of Brahmananda or merging into the Brahman, which is basically the absence of all material pain and awareness of eternal existence. If you take that and multiply it by a million or a billion, one won't be able to estimate even a drop of what prema bhakti is, what love for Krishna is. So that is inconceivable for us, practically speaking. Moksha lagunakrit bhava bhakti minimizes the value of liberation. It's like we can conceive when I'm a poor man, so if I think of what will I do if I had some money, if I had $1,000, so I can conceive of that, or maybe I can conceive of $10,000. But how much is a $1 billion, and what you can do with $1 billion is practically speaking beyond my conceptual ability. And you keep adding zeros to that. Hundreds of billions of dollars, trillions of dollars. What does that mean to us? Practically, we can't conceive of it. In the same way, we can't actually conceive of what love for Krishna is and how that affects the soul. Practically, it allows the eternal soul to enjoy on the level of God, even though he's tiny and significant. So the result, so in trying to explain that Bali Maharaj, the gain that Bali Maharaj got was pure love, the gain of devotional service is pure love. It's not either liberation or material opulence. Then the 20th verse is spoken. And the 20th verse is, if one who is embarrassed by hunger or who falls down or stumbles chants the holy name of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately freed from the reactions of his past deeds. So in other words, even if one chants casually or thinking something else or unwillingly, the result immediately liberates one. So what to speak? What to speak of someone who chants in great love and devotion, what he achieves? So this is showing, by showing the effect of something done casually, showing the greatness of the thing done in its perfection, which is chanting the holy names, which is devotional service. The verse continues, karmas entangled In material activities, face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. So the path of devotion is far superior, and the result of devotion, prema pamarto mahan, is the parama artha, is the supreme gain. So Prabhupada's purport, we're going to read it all. Mostly it describes an incident that happened when Haridas Thakur described this incident, is from the described in Chaitanya Charitamrita and also in, I think in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Haridas Thakur, he went to the home of, to the place of Raghunath Das Goswami. And his, Raghunath Das Goswami, this was before he was just living at home at that time. His father and uncle were very, very wealthy. Haranya and Govardhan Majumdar were their names. And they were holding an assembly. And when Haridas walked in, everyone respected him, even though he was born in a Muslim family, because he was had fully taken shelter of the holy names. Everyone treated him as the most exalted person. So they asked him to describe the glories of the holy name. So everyone was describing, first everyone was describing the glories of the holy name. So someone said, one of the learned people, the Brahmins, learned Brahmins, said that the holy names are so powerful that just by chanting Hare Krishna, one gains liberation. And Haridas Thakur, he said, although that's true, that one gains liberation by chanting the holy name, that is not actually what is to be gained by chanting the holy name. What is to be gained by chanting the name is so far greater than liberation. It is prema, or love for Krishna. So at that time, there was a tax collector who was under the employment of the two, the uncle and father of Raghunath Das. His name was, what was it? Gopal? Gopal Chakravarti or something? Or Chapal Gopal? What was his name? Gopal. He was a very aristocratic person. He walked in. He was born in the highest kind of family. And he challenged Haridas Thakur, because according to the tradition of the Varnashrama culture, that if one performs his duties for hundreds of births, if one perfectly performs his duties for hundreds of births, then one moves up in birth, and then finally, after so many births, then attains liberation. So this Gopal Chakravarti was already sort of at the top. And he did not like to hear that one can get liberated so easily just by chanting Krishna's names. So he challenged Haridas Thakur and said this wasn't true. And he scoffed at the statement. And he said, if chanting the holy names gives one liberation, that's true, I'll cut off my nose. And he had a very aristocratic nose. And Thakur Haridas said, if it doesn't, I'll cut off my nose. And everyone was aghast that he had so directly challenged this saintly person, Haridas Thakur. And he was actually kicked out of the assembly and taken away his position. He was thrown out, and then within a few days he caught leprosy, and actually his nose fell off. So in that assembly, Haridas Thakur described the glories of the holy name, and that's what's going to be, Prabhupada is going to quote. But first there's a prelude to this. It is not a fact, this is Prabhupada's purport, it is not a fact that one has to offer his material possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be liberated before he can engage in devotional service. A devotee automatically attains liberation without separate endeavor. If one engages in devotional service, then automatically one is liberated. Not that one has to give up all material things, then become liberated. Then he can engage as a devotee. Bali Maharaj did not get back all his material possessions merely because of his charity to the Lord. One who becomes a devotee, free from material desires and motives, regards all opportunities, both material and spiritual, as benedictions from the Lord. And in this way, his service to the Lord is never hampered. Bhukti, material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation, are only byproducts of devotional service. A devotee need not work separately to attain mukti, liberation. Srila Bilvamangala Thakur said, Mukti sayam mukhalatanjali sevate sman. A pure devotee of the Lord does not have to endeavor separately for mukti, because mukti is always ready to serve him. In this regard, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Haridas Thakur's confirmation of the effects of chanting the holy name of the Lord. So this was in that circumstance that I just described. Keha bale namahoite haya papachai. Keha bale namahoite jivera mukshahoy. Some say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from all the reactions of sinful life. And others say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one attains liberation from material bondage. Haridas Kahina. Nameda e dui fal nai. Nameda fal Krishna pare prema upajai. Haridas Thakur, however, said that the desired result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not that one is liberated from material bondage or freed from the reactions of sinful life. The actual result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is that one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, his loving service to the Lord. Anusangika fala namera mukti papanash tahara dristanta yaiche soyera prakash. Haridas Thakur said that liberation and freedom from the reactions of sinful activities are only byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. If one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Haridas Thakur gave an example comparing the power of the holy name to sunshine. E slokera arta kara pandi teragan. Sabe kahe tumi kaha arta vivaran. He placed the verse before all the learned scholars present, but the learned scholars asked him to state the purport of the verse. Haridas Kahina. Yaiche soyera udai, udayana hoite rambe tamera haya chai. Haridas Thakur said that as the sun begins to rise, it dissipates the darkness of night, even before the sunlight is visible. Chora preta raksha sadira bhaya hayanash udaya haila dharma kama adi parakash. Before the sunrise even takes place, the light of dawn destroys the fear of the dangers of the night, such as disturbance by thieves, ghosts, and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in his duties. Ache namo daya rambe papa adira chai udaya kaila Krishna pare haya premodai. Similarly, even before one's chanting of the holy name is pure, one is freed from all sinful reactions. And when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna. Mukti tuchaval hoy namabhasa hoite. Ye mukti bhakta nalai se Krishna chahe dite. A devotee never accepts mukti even if Krishna offers it. Mukti, freedom from all sinful reactions, is obtained even by namabhas, or a glimpse of the light of the holy name before its full light is perfectly visible. The Namabhasa stage is between that of Namaparad, or chanting of the holy name with offenses, and pure chanting, Shudanam. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord. In the first stage, one commits 10 kinds of offenses while chanting. In the next stage, Namavas, the offenses have almost stopped, and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting. In the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offense, his dormant love for Krishna immediately awakens. That is the perfection. Text 21. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, speaking again more about the result of devotional service or chanting, because chanting is, of course, one of the main parts of devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, sells himself to his devotees, such as Narada Muni. In other words, the Lord gives pure love to such devotees and gives himself to those who love him purely. So what to speak of gaining something material or gaining liberation? One gains Krishna. Krishna gives himself to the pure devotees. Great self-realized mystic yogis such as the four Kumaras also derive great transcendental bliss from realizing the Supersoul within themselves. Prabhupada's short one-line purport explains that the Lord became Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper, not because of his giving everything to the Lord, but because of his exalted position as the Lord's lover. Because of his love, he captured the Lord. It's not just by renunciation, giving up things. That is not the cause of Krishna's loving reciprocation. Krishna reciprocates with the love of the devotees. Text 22. The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not award his mercy to Bali Maharaj by giving him material happiness and opulence, for these make one forget one's loving service to the Lord. The result of material opulence is that one can no longer absorb his mind in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead could see no other means of taking everything away from Bali Maharaj, he adopted the trick of begging from him and took away all the three worlds. Thus, only his, Bali Maharaj's, body was left. But the Lord was still not satisfied. So Bali Maharaj gave the Lord everything. He owned the three worlds. He surrendered everything to the Lord. And the Lord took that with two steps. With his third step, he said, "Where should I put it? You've offered me three steps of land. You cannot fulfill your promise. Where should I put my third step?" And he said, "You place it on my head." So he was giving himself even completely to Bali Maharaj. Thus only his body was left, and he gave that, but the Lord was still not satisfied. He arrested Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was the powerful king. What an embarrassment. What a humiliation. He arrested him. He bound him with the ropes of Varuna. Took away all his prestige, and then threw him in a cave of a mountain. He took away everything from Bali Maharaj. So what would we do if Krishna takes things away from us? Or sometimes we're humiliated by circumstance. How do we react? We become angry at everyone. We even become angry at Krishna. Nevertheless, although all his property was taken and he was thrown in a cave, Bali Maharaj was such a great devotee that he spoke as follows. So these three verses are Bali Maharaj's response to how Krishna had treated him. So one can say Krishna treated him harshly. He was sincerely trying to give everything. Look what happened. He was humiliated. Everything taken away. These verses and reveal the mood of Bali Maharaj. He said, "Alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, the king of heaven, that although he was very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Brihaspati is also unintelligent because he did not properly instruct his disciple Indra. Lord Vamanadeva was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to render transcendental loving service, engaged him in asking me for alms to gain the three worlds for his sense gratification. Sovereignty over the three worlds is very insignificant because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of Manu, but which is but a tiny fraction of endless time." So he's saying that Indra, Bali Maharaj, was saying Indra was so unfortunate because Vamanadeva was right before him, and instead of asking Vamanadeva for devotion, he asked him to go and beg from me, Bali Maharaj says, to take away all my material possessions so I can gain sovereignty again. So he was foolish. He missed the greatest opportunity, Bali Maharaj said. And his spiritual master hadn't instructed him properly as what is to be actually gained through life. So he was so unfortunate that he had the opportunity to gain devotional service, Indra did. But instead, what did he want? He took something that will be stolen away by time. By time. And what will be stolen away by time? Everything gained in the material world. So Prabhupada, read some of Prabhupada's purport here. Time is insurmountable. The time one is allotted, even if it be millions of years, is quickly gone. The demigods own their material possessions only within the limits of time. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented that although Indra was very learned, he did not know how to use his intelligence properly. Instead of asking Vamanadeva to allow him to engage in his service, Indra used him, Vaman, to beg Bali Maharaj for material wealth. Although Indra was learned and his prime minister Brihaspati was also learned, neither of them begged to be able to render loving service to Lord Vamanadeva. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented for Indra. So what a mood. He was thinking, I'm fortunate. Vamanadeva came and asked me for something, and I had the opportunity to satisfy him by giving him everything. I'm fortunate. I lost everything but served. Indra gained everything and lost the opportunity to serve. So how fortunate am I? So what a, this is wonderful consciousness. 25. So Indra wasn't fortunate. Who is fortunate? So he's not going to say, I am so fortunate. But who is fortunate? He says, Bali Maharaj says, my grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, is the only person who understood his own self-interest. Upon the death of Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimhadeva wanted to offer Prahlad his father's kingdom, and even wanted to grant him liberation from material bondage. But Prahlad accepted neither. Liberation and material opulence, he thought, are obstacles to devotional service. And therefore, such gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not his actual mercy. So what is his actual mercy? Consequently, instead of accepting the results of karma and jnana, material wealth and knowledge ending in liberation, Prahlad Maharaj, Bali continued, simply begged the Lord for engagement in the service of his servant. Evam janam na papiti tam prabhavari kupam janam janamam Kamavikamam manoya prapatam prasangam kritvapmasatsu rishina bhagavan guhitam soham soham kitam nu rishaje tavabritya seva. Please engage me in the service of your servants. How could I give up his service? So that's all that was valuable, and therefore he considered Prahlad, Balaramaraj considered Prahlad truly fortunate, truly intelligent, truly having taken advantage of the opportunity that was offered to him. Just imagine if the Lord appeared in one form or another and said to you, to me, you can have anything and everything you want. Just how much trouble I would get myself into, especially if he gave me more than one wish. First thing I'd say, I want 10 wishes, you know how it goes. And then after my ninth one, I'd say, I want another 10. And oh, how much trouble I would get into. Would I say, please, just let me always remember you with great loving devotion? And if I did say that as my first, and not only that, pizza on Wednesdays, ice cream on Tuesdays, or whatever, 5 Rolls Royces, 7 this, 8 that. Prabhupada's purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed that an unalloyed devotee, what does unalloyed mean? Not mixed with anything. When you think of when steel mixed, it's called an alloy. Alloyed steel, they put all kinds of other metals in it to give it other qualities. Mixed with things. So when devotional service is mixed with nothing other than the desire, mixed with nothing, which means it consists only of the desire to please Krishna, that is called kevala bhakti, or pure devotional service, unalloyed devotional service. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that an unalloyed devotee should consider himself a servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord. Gopi Bharta Parakamalayor Dasa 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 Dasa. In Vaishnava philosophy, one should not even become a direct servant. Prahlad Maharaj was offered all the blessings of an opulent position in the material world and even the liberation of merging into Brahman, but he refused all this. He simply wanted to engage in the service of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Therefore, Bale Maharaj said that because his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj had rejected the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of material opulence and liberation from material bondage, he, Prahlad, said Bali, truly understood his self-interest. So in other words, he's saying one's self-interest, what's the best thing for one, is to serve the servant of the servants of the servants of the Lord with one's full heart. And then the third of Bali's prayers. So the first he said, Indra wasn't fortunate. He didn't know what was good for him, what was in his self-interest. But Prahlad did. Prahlad knew that serving the Lord's servants was the best of all things. And his third verse. Now how can we follow, what does it take to follow Prahlad? Bali Maharaj said, persons like us, who are still attached to material enjoyment, first quality, who are contaminated by the modes of material nature, second quality, and third, and who lack the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaj, the exalted devotee of the Lord. So, in other words, if we make that the inverse, persons who are unattached to material enjoyment, persons who are uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, by passion and ignorance, and those who get the mercy of the Lord, they can follow as Prahlad followed and desire purely as he desired. Prabhupada's purport, short purport. It is said that for spiritual realization, one must follow great personalities like Lord Brahma, Devarshi, Narada, Lord Shiva, and Prahlad Maharaj. The path of bhakti is not at all difficult if we follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas and authorities. This will be explained in the beginning of the sixth canto. But those who are too materially contaminated by the modes of material nature cannot follow them. Although Bali Maharaj was actually following the path of his grandfather, because of his great humility, he thought that he was not. It is a characteristic of advanced Vaishnavas following the principles of bhakti that they think themselves ordinary human beings. This is not an artificial exhibition of humility. A Vaishnava sincerely thinks this way and therefore never admits his exalted position. So it was Bali Maharaj's attitude, this wonderful attitude, his humility, his giving up everything, his knowing what the best thing was and following it in an unalloyed, pure way, that caused that was what caused the Lord to protect him, not Bali Maharaj's giving up his material possessions. It was his unalloyed, pure desire to please Lord Vamandev. So he conquered Vamandev by that mood, and Vamandev became his chokidar, his doorkeeper. 27. Sukadev Goswami continues, so the description of the other planetary systems will continue. My dear king, how shall I glorify the character of Bali Maharaj? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the Three Worlds, who is most compassionate to his own devotee, stands with a club in his hand at Bali Maharaj's door. When Ravana, the powerful demon, came to gain victory over Bali Maharaj, Vamanadev kicked him a distance of 80,000 miles with his big toe. I shall explain the character and activity of Bali Maharaj later in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, because when we think, if I give everything to Krishna, who will take care of me? That's the natural fear in the mind of me. Who will take care of me if I give everything surrendered to Krishna? Well, here is the answer. And the example of Bali Maharaj, who is one of the greatest of the Mahajans, the greatest of the authority, that he so much won the heart of Krishna, Vamanadev, by his self-surrender, that Vamanadev himself, the Lord himself, protected him and took care of him, to the degree when Ravana came, he kicked him away effortlessly with his big toe. Effortlessly. 28. Beneath the planet known as Sutal, that's where Bali Maharaj is another planet called Talatal, which is ruled by the Danava demon named Maya. Maya is known as the Acharya, the master of all the Mayavis who can invoke the power of sorcery. For the benefit of the three worlds, Lord Shiva, who is known as Tripurari, once set fire to the three kingdoms of Maya. But later, being pleased with him, he returned his kingdom. Since that time, Maya Danava has been protected by Lord Shiva, and therefore he falsely thinks that he need not fear the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The planetary system below Talatal is known as Mahatal. It is the abode of many hooded snakes, descendants of Kadru, who are always very angry. The great snakes who are prominent are Kuhaka, Takshaka, Kaliya, and Shushena. The snakes in Mahatal are always disturbed by fear of Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. But although they are full of anxiety, some of them nevertheless sport with their wives, children, friends, and relatives. Prabhupada says in his purport, in the last line, he says, this is the way of material life. Even if one lives in the most abominable condition, terrified, unhappy, miserable, so many difficulties, he still thinks himself happy with his wife, children, friends, and relatives. 30. Beneath Mahatal, so this again is the description of the going down the lower planets, not yet to the lowest planets. We'll get to those in the chapter after the next one. Beneath Mahatal is the planetary system known as Rasatala, which is the abode of the demoniac sons of Diti and Danu. They are called the Panis, Navatakavachas, Kalehas, and Hiranyapuravasis, those living in Hiranyapur. They are all enemies of the demigods, and they reside in holes like snakes. From birth they are extremely powerful and cruel, and although they are proud of their strength, they are always defeated by the Sudarsan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules all the planetary systems. So they're defeated by time. Everyone in the material world, except the devotees, are defeated by time. It crushes their desires, but because the devotees have no material desires, and their only desire is to please Krishna, they are beyond the influence of time, because whatever they're doing here, they're serving Krishna here, and then if they die, they continue to serve Krishna, wherever they are. One time the devotees asked Prabhupada, there was a particular period in the Krishna consciousness movement where everyone was afraid of nuclear war. So they asked, devotees asked Prabhupada, what will we do if there's a nuclear war? I think Prabhupada was in New York. So Prabhupada said that you will go to, we have our farm in Pennsylvania, we'll go there. The devotees can go there, away from the city. And then the devotees said, but the radiation will come there as well. The fallout, the radiation will come there as well. And then Prabhupada put it on a higher level and said that, what is the difficulty? Chant Hare Krishna. And then at another time he said, if there's something like that occurs, we chant Hare Krishna, have kirtan, and we'll finish the kirtan in the spiritual world. Goloka Vrindavan. But how deep one's realization actually has to be, not to be terrified by things like war and death. They're not fearsome as long as they're far away and affecting someone else. But if they're close by, we'll see unless our realizations are deep, they will shake and quiver and maybe even collapse. So since we all have material reality is that everything material is going to be crushed by time. So we have our life is meant to gain the strength in devotion, the unstoppable, unshakable shelter of Krishna, that we can take shelter of Him without fear, despite any difficult circumstance. When a female messenger from Indra named Sarama chants a particular curse, the serpentine demons of Mahatal become very afraid of Indra. So whatever situation one arranges in the material world, there is always fear involved. There is always fear. So we can't make a material solution to the problems of the material world. It is not possible. And then the final verse in this chapter. Beneath Rasatala is another planetary system known as Patal, or Nagaloka, where there are many demoniac serpents. The masters of Nagaloka, such as Sankha, Kulika, Mahashanka, Sweta, Dhananjaya, Dhritarashtra, Sankachuda, Kambala, Ashvatar, and Devadatta. The chief amongst them is Vasuki. They are all extremely angry, and they have many, many hoods. Some snakes five hoods, some seven, some ten, others 100, and others 1,000. These hoods are bedecked with valuable gems, and the light emanating from the gems illuminates the entire planetary system of Bilasvarga. So that ends the 24th chapter. And tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we'll read the go through the entire 25th chapter, the glories of Lord Ananta, and then the 26th chapter is the final one, which is a description of the hellish planets. I don't think we'll read that in detail. Gruesome. Yeah, to make everyone uncomfortable, especially the reader. But we'll go through it. It's not a class for children either, that one. But that 26th chapter is the lead to the 6th canto. The end of the 5th canto is the lead into the 6th canto. Okay, then. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Yep.
This statement by Rastakur, I'm trying to hold it in a casual way. Is the slate wiped clean, like a third world country's debt to the World Bank is wiped out, and then you start again, and if such is the case, then it's pretty good. Or is it those other little sort of seeds that suddenly pop up immediately and wipe the slate clean?
There's different stages of karma. There's Parabdha, Aparabdha, Kutabija. So Parabdha means what you have now, what you're basically summarizing your body, your particular karma for this body. And Aparabdha means everything in the past. So if one lost all one's karma, then one would die immediately, because the body is, our body exists of our karma. So what I understand it means is basically the past karma. And the same thing is true for initiation, Vaishnava initiation. One loses one's karma, which an example that usually is given is when the fan is turning. So it means that all the power that's feeding that fan is cut when the electrical switch is cut. So similarly, that one has feeding us in that sense forever is cut, but yet the fan still rotates after the power is cut due to the momentum, and that's the Parabdha karma. It's momentum, and that's our material body at the present. So one looks at the existence of the material body and our present karma is actually a blessing, because this is how we're supposed to look at it, no matter what our present karma is. Because as long as we have a material body, we have the ability, a human body, we have the ability to progress in our loving devotion. Yes?
So just to mirror what you're saying, if I understand it.
That's my understanding.
I'm just trying to be Hare Krishna. So the future bodies that I have to go through, they will only be resultant on what I do from now on, as opposed to what I've done in the past.
Past lives. Yes, that's what one concludes from that. But that's if one's chanting in innocence. That's Namabhas. And the example will be, this will be explained in detail in the 6th canto about Ajamil. There are three stages. Prabhupada spoke about it very briefly. There are three stages in chanting. One is Namaparad, one is Namabhas, and the third is Shudanam. So if one chants innocently, and there are verses, those verses here are very, that came out over here, and there's more in the sixth canto explaining about the holy names, that even if one chants in neglect or not knowing what the name means, or out of fear meaning something else, Hela, there's names for them all, or even if one says Ha there's examples. There's a word in Urdu that haramba or something like that is the one that's usually given that has a separation between the ha and or rama or something like that. But there's an innocence in that chanting. It's not chanting knowing what it is and still committing a sinful activity. So that is the called namabhasa. Namabhasa hoite hai sava papachai. All sins are eradicated by namabhasa chanting. So these verses, those are actually important verses about neglect meaning something else. So the holy names are so powerful. And therefore, Mahaprabhu, I just heard a wonderful tape, a lecture today where Prabhupada was San Francisco, 1968. Most of the tape was, the lecture was describing Varnashrama system and the duty of Brahmins and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Sudras and Brahmacharyas and Grihasthas and Vanaprasthas and Sannyasis, and explaining in great detail. Almost the whole lecture was on that. And then right at the end, basically, Prabhupada said, and because we can't do that, nor is it possible to institute again the Varnashrama system, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has quoted, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Anasteva, 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 Ganiti, Anayata, that we should constantly, constantly, constantly chant Krishna's names. And this is really the hope of Kali Yuga. The hope to free ourselves from past sins and to keep free of our tendencies that come along with the material body at the present. Okay, let's end now. So tomorrow we'll hear the glorification of Ananta Dev, and then on Friday we'll go to hell. See you there. I'll be there to greet you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Bali Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.